couple interesting things from the internet over the weekend. You guys know how they've been showing how you can like go into the crowds of games and you can like see actual like people.
Oh, with the AI now you can identify
like,
people
where you receive. You can type in like a section of seat number. It'll show you exact like moment of the game.
Can you and I do that, or is that just done by the stadium people?
I don't know. But according to this tweet, it comes from Barstool Longhorn. So okay. the college students are getting this text. We have identified that you were throwing items onto the Texas Longhorns field from the student section. As a result, your big ticket has been revoked for the 2024-2025 academic calendar. If you have any questions, please contact Texas at Texas Athletics. Thank
good,
you.
Good.
Whoa.
Good. Because so, they got five big amounts of money throwing those bottles of water
on
the field.
Someone's watching.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Like, you can watch us on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter as our show is live on the cameras. And then speaking of live on the camera, Bob, I don't know how to make your day any better. Aaron Rodgers was seen on the bench, allegedly picking and eating his nose boogers.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
He likes that's nerves.
That's awesome right there. Eating your boogers on the sidelines as a grown adult.
Mm. Chiefs win.
It's one thing to pick your nose. We've all done it, right? But here's the thing. You're a grown adult. Like, you should stop eating your boogers at five.
Mm. I don't think I ever ate them.
I never did either. My friend Charlie used to pick his nose and wipe them all over his walls.
Ew. Does he work here? Was he in the bathroom?
No, he's not. No.
No kidding.
No. I mean, Aaron Rodgers eating his boogers on TMZ is fantastic. I love it. Like, just when you think it couldn't get any worse for Aaron Rodgers, now he's picking his nose and eating it.
Ugh. Is that the worst thing to eat? So that's brutal.
Is that the worst thing in the world to eat? No.
No, but
no.
I
mean, there's other things that I could think of bodily wise that would not be good. But boogers as an adult are pretty pathetic. You don't go eat your own boogers.
Anyways. Coming up tonight, in case you need, or tomorrow, 7 to 9, the first Josh Briscoe show here on 96.5 The Fan. He is our Chiefs contributor from SI.com. Mr. Briscoe, I hate to admit it, I was wrong. I thought Connor was going to get a sack.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we all make mistakes. That's like right. The fact that my show does begin tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
They
tonight.
Wrote it in the thing, it's tomorrow. I knew it was tonight, Josh. I'm sorry.
See, that's what happens when you copy and paste, I would imagine, right, Mac?
Yeah, I mean, look, that happens. Sorry. That's all right. I'm not myself yet. I've only had half of my bowl of boogers and milk to get my day going, so I'm not completely in game mode yet either.
Rodgers is no milk. He's just raw.
Yeah, he's just dry.
I missed that somehow last night, and I just think I skipped the booger eating stage of my childhood.
Same.
Maybe I'll get to it in my 30s. Maybe that's when you really, or maybe Rodgers is 40. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Fesco, was there an age when your boogers were most ripe for the biting?
About 40, they start to get crustier, you know, dried up, and you know,
they age like fine wine.
Yeah.
Speaking of eating them dry, Briscoe, what is the best cereal to eat dry?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, knee-jerk reaction right there. No further thought. That's where I immediately went.
See, I would go with Honey Nut Cheerios.
Also a good... Well, hold on. Now you are talking like a toddler again.
Yes, exactly. But so is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I think that's like a 13-year-old cereal. I'm like I've got the cereal palate of... I mean, listen, again, I had to grow up out of a little bit of that because diabetes is mostly about carbs and sugar, and cereal is two of my favorite things, carbs and sugar.
Right,
so,
yes.
I still prioritize my Cinnamon Toast Crunch experience. It's just on more of a rare occasion, much like the way that Aaron Rodgers apparently treats his boogers.
Yeah. God. Speaking of two of your favorite things, what were the two of your favorite things in this game over the Niners this weekend as the Chiefs win 28-18?
The Mahomes run and having two really like kind of iconic looking Mahomes runs was a blast. And obviously his stat line could not tell less of his story in this game. But we always talk about needing to talk about the defense more. And then I never do because I'm always worried about the receivers or the running back rotation or the offensive line. I'm going to the defense again, guys. This was actually the most successful that an opposing starting running back had been against the Chiefs so far this year, with Mason putting up a massive 58 yards on the ground.
That's right.
it is a dominant defensive unit. My least favorite thing is that we don't know the status of Jalen Watson. That's a really big deal. But if I was going to come tell you that I didn't think Steve Spagnuolo and Dave Merritt could get at least solid cornerback play out of the rest of this crew, I'd be a fool, because they've been doing much more than that the entire time they've been here. So I have to give it to the defense that honestly didn't really feel the loss of Mike Dana. The linebackers all had a good day from my first viewing. The secondary is elite at this point, I think. The unit as a whole is just an absolute delight to watch against a Niners team that certainly has a rash of injuries of its own, but these two teams, neither one of them can really claim that they've been bit by the injury bug more than the other. Neither team had really any professional wide receivers by the end of that game. It is an amazing feat, though, that this Niners offense looked as weak as it did.
Well, and give credit to the Chiefs defense for that as well, too. Yes. I mean, you know, you get after it. Everybody wants to go, oh, Brock Purdy stunk. Yeah, he stunk because, you know, he had guys in his face the entire time. But I don't know about you. I'm watching the game yesterday. I'm like, this is why you don't pay Brock Purdy. He needs his weapons to be good, unlike Mahomes, who's good despite of his weapons.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be, like, the biggest question for the rest of this 49ers season, because for whatever it's worth, I don't know if I'm comfortable evaluating Purdy against Steve Spagnuolo, because it seems like a settled law at this point. Spags has had so much success against Shanahan and the Shanahan-like offenses. When they get condensed, Spags can send guys from anywhere, and frankly, like, I haven't seen the blitz rates yet from yesterday, but it wasn't like Spags was getting super, super exotic with the pressures. I think he was getting exotic with what was happening in the middle and back third of the field, and then that's where Purdy got kind of put in a little bit of a scrambler there. Brady talked about it quite a bit on the broadcast, which I thought was interesting, while he could not stop raving about Patrick Mahomes, which I did find kind of delightful yesterday. I enjoyed Brady on the broadcast, which I wasn't completely expecting to do either, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, enjoy. I don't know. I thought he was very meh, mid, average, you know, nothing jumping out, and again, you probably can't because you're an owner of a team now. How many different pronunciations did he have for Steve Spagnuolo, though, in that game yesterday? Because at one time I was up to four different ways that he pronounced Spagnuolo's name yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of steel magspolias and stuff. That I don't know why that is such a challenge for so many. Maybe for Brady, it's his subtle disrespect.
It is.
Years of holding a grudge. I'll say I enjoyed when Brady was talking about the quarterbacks and the quarterback position. But I would like to see him be able to branch out and do more as he goes on. But I think even as Purdy had really played some pretty good football this year, I think he'd had a better start to his year than most people were even giving him credit for last season. But the Niners' results flip, and so he gets a lot more criticism. Yesterday, again, Spags just had him in a blender.
I think the most impressive part about yesterday was that there was one sack, and I think that is the definition game of that pressure kind of takes away from, like, a lot of people don't realize it. Like, I was, you know, driving home from my parents' house on Sunday evening, and I was like, you know, I, you know, predicted there'd be, you know, 2.5 sacks. Chris Jones would have 1.5 of them. Carl Loftus got the only one, but my God, sometimes pressures just go just unspoken, and I think that there's maybe a little bit of bias there, but the way they pressured Brock Purdy just made him the quarterback that I think a lot of people think that he actually is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a huge test for any quarterback. I mean, there have been a lot of very, very good quarterbacks in NFL history who become below-average quarterbacks when they're pressured. And obviously, like, that's the most understandable thing in the world, is that an incredibly difficult position becomes almost impossible when you're under pressure. But that's what separates Mahomes or prime Aaron Rodgers, and in some ways, Brady could just sort of precede the pressure. The ball was gone before he actually felt it. Being able to overcome that, I think, is sort of the cutoff for where an elite quarterback can really be, as opposed to a quarterback who looks great in ideal circumstances, be it the weapons, the protection, not being under pressure, and all of that. I think that's absolutely all connected. And for as much as the A word of analytics has been warped and sides have been chosen over the years and all of that, things like pressure rate and double team rate, the things that really explain how excellent Chris Jones has been, I think is some of the most important stuff in understanding the sport now, because you're right. Frankly, I hadn't even looked at the box score again this morning. I didn't even think about one sack for a loss of three, because he was under duress all day. And those three interceptions, there was at least one kind of miscommunication with Bell, it looked like. But that pressure turned into turnovers. It turned into very short drives. They said early in the broadcast, the Niners had 5 3 and outs. entering this game through their first 6 weeks. And then the Chiefs defense until that final drive of the first half was absolutely stifling. Again, through and through, the different ways that this defense was able to put up that performance yesterday, I just think was just stupendous.
Where's this team without Kareem Hunt on it right now? Seems like the red zone issues have been solved by Mr. 29.
Yeah, I think we'd be seeing the Carson Steele experiment continue on. Obviously, Clyde was a healthy scratch yesterday. We could have seen him back. Nothing has surprised me more this season than how good Kareem Hunt looked on his return. He's 29 years old, and look, I've seen some people even say he doesn't have the burst that he's had. I don't even think that's the right word. He doesn't have his younger self's breakaway straightaway speed. I'm not expecting him to house one for, you know, from 60 yards out at any point this season. But his remarkable consistency, that the fact that Brady may have even said this, I don't know if I'm attributing him correctly, but the ball going to Kareem Hunt means the Chiefs are moving forward, and that is, it's so hard to have an automatic like 3, 4, 5 free yards in the NFL and running with the interior. Even Wanya Morris often plays to his strengths running behind him. Jawan Taylor, no slouch there. This offensive line being able to move guys and Kareem Hunt being able to hit the hole and lean forward is such a good easy button for this offense. And because that's what they are completely lacking now. Again, you know, I like Xavier Worthy in the long haul, and Noah Gray having a big day is great, and Travis Kelce's probably getting 90% of the eyeballs in that defense. Being able to just give it to your running back and know that you're going to have, by and large, a successful play, even as he ends that day with 3.5 yards on average, that is an easy button this offense has nowhere else. Everything through the air is difficult. Kareem Hunt has something easy for the offense to do, and it's unbelievably useful for keeping this unit on time.
Tonight, the Josh Briscoe Show starts at 7 p.m. It goes till 9 p.m. Do you want to tease anything about what you got coming up tonight?
We'll talk to Matt Verderam at 8. He'll be the inaugural guest, and the rest of that show is going to be me figuring out if I still know how to talk on the radio by myself for a little while. I am relatively optimistic, but look, if it's a train wreck or a good time, either way, you shouldn't look away.
There you go. We'll hear you tonight here on 96.5 The Fan. Thank you again. We'll talk to you next Monday, Josh.
Appreciate you, fellas. Keep your boogers in your nose.
That's exactly right, and out of your mouth.
Only in a Kleenex. Only in a Kleenex. You know how to make a Kleenex dance?
Put a little boogie in it.
There you go. Man. Coming up on the other side, let's talk.
And you're not a dad.
Nope. Let's talk about Tom Brady, because I have probably a different opinion than Bob, and Bob probably has a different opinion than Mac, and Mac probably has a different opinion than both of us. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back in on 96.5 The Fan. Monday's almost in the books. Taco Tuesday, Basement Tuesday for Bob Fesco. You got to go to Albalerto's, I think is how you say it. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. Dude, hash brown breakfast burrito or the 5 for $5.99 taco deal on Tuesday night. Solid. Go to Hy-Vee today. Save you some gas.
28 cents, man. Go spend $28 at Hy-Vee and get the 28-cent fuel savers.
Yeah, and gas kind of going down, I think. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like 272 right now,
depending,
I think I saw.
Depending on what side of the state line you're on.
Yeah,
right?
It's like 282 in Missouri.
Yeah, very, very high over in Missouri. Thursday, I'll be out at Hy-Vee at 119th Street in Olathe for Steak Dinner Thursdays. $10 steak dinner on Thursday. Yeah, that's right. $10 steak dinner. Get your taters and your beans and your steak. $10.
Did it last week?
Yeah,
great.
There you brioche. Go. Brioche, baby. Brioche. Right? Yeah.
Fantastic. Why do you always get the hottest days?
Is Thursday
85.
Supposed to be? Is it supposed to be?
I mean, that's
hot?
Not hot, but I mean, for October, that's like a squatcha.
Yeah, what's going on? Like, it's 85 still, right? And here it is, like the 21st. I mean, my goodness, the top's still off, the Bronco and everything. Like, it's beautiful out. I'm not going to complain, but you're right.
I am. I want chili and crock pot meals and hoodies and sweats.
Well, you could do all that.
Not when it's 85.
Not when it's 85. No. No. But you're right. Yeah, the last time I was at Hy-Vee, well, two times ago, it was very, very hot out there. But you want to get in because the savings are cool.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have a conversation real quick, because I thought I wrote down, talking to Briscoe, what I thought were the big stories of the Chiefs game. Maybe I'm missing one. If I do, because I want to talk about Tom Brady.
Okay.
But the storylines I saw in the Chiefs defense, topic.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes runs were topics.
Yeah.
His two interceptions merited a topic.
Sure.
Kareem Hunt was great.
Yeah.
Noah Gray, surprisingly the guy this week. Last week it was Juju.
Mm-hmm.
No Harrison Butker, really. Didn't really know if he was on the field or not.
No, that's fine. I don't need to see field goals.
Didn't have any, you know, didn't have any stall drives. Right. Got in the red zone.
Got in the red zone, scored.
Not seeing him as a plus.
In the red zone? Yeah, I'll take that.
Lost a defensive back?
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster got hurt.
Yeah.
Anything I missed?
Not really. No. I mean, that was kind of the
those are the nuts and bolts?
Yeah, those are the nuts and bolts of the game.
Tom Brady's part of that topic,
right? And Tom Brady's in there, yeah, because it was the first game that he did, you know, with the Chiefs. Nothing stood out, really, for me with Tom Brady. I wasn't sitting there going, wow, this guy's giving me some great insight. I did cherry-pick two quotes that I thought were really good from Tom Brady, but overall, I just thought he was just a guy. I didn't think he was anything, you know, special, and I wasn't going in with, like, a, oh, my God, Tom Brady sucks attitude, but... He didn't know Mecole Hardman's name.
Hardman?
Hardman, he kept calling
and
him.
And Spags was tough.
And he said Spags at least four different times.
Just go with Spags.
Just go with Spags.
Coach Spags.
Yeah, just go with Spags.
I learned that.
Other than that, he was all right. Didn't get in the way of the game, which is a good thing.
He was appreciative of the moment, which is Kansas City Chiefs going for an historic time. I thought him and Patrick Mahomes' pregame interview was amazing. I
loved it.
I didn't see that part.
Oh, that's like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, however long it was. It's great.
Was it on the pregame show? Mm. Yeah, I don't do pregame shows. I sit down at noon. Let's go, Scott Hanson. I have the clock running with like 13 minutes to go on Red Zone.
So I went over to my stepdad's house because he was helping me with the battery situation.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, you have Red Zone. He goes, I don't know what that is. Because he just likes to watch the game.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, wait till 2:30. And he was like, after watching the Red Zone witching hour, he goes, how do you do this every week? And I was like, a lot of Miller Lite.
And how do you do it?
Because it's just so much.
Gotcha.
For someone who's never, like, I got to experience Red Zone with someone who's never experienced Red Zone. Because he's just a simple guy. He wants to watch the Chiefs at 325. He'll watch a TV movie during the day. He's not just going to eat. He's got his teams.
He's got his, yeah, that's fine, which is most people.
And I put that on during that witching hour where Houston, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, and then we get to the topic, and even he brings it up. Because my mom, God rest her soul, was not a huge Tom Brady fan. Probably would not have been able to watch the game with the TV volume on if they were playing.
That's funny, though, with the Red Zone and your dad yesterday, because my wife, for the last 2 years when we started watching Red Zone, she complains every week, just put a game on, just put a game on, just put a game on.
No.
So she was cleaning out the closet finally yesterday, and I'm listening to what she has on in the bedroom while I'm, you know, kind of doing some things, going, you know, up and down, back and forth, whatever the case may be. And all I can hear is Scott Hansen's voice. I'm like, I see now. You matriculated over to the Red Zone.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't know. Like, I didn't hear a whole lot. Like, there were some family conversations going on when I was watching it, but I heard enough. And it's more than I've heard in the past where I'd just be watching a Red Zone game and it would go to Tom Brady. He didn't really say much that was like, what is he doing? I was keeping my ear and eye to Twitter to see, like, if anybody was mad about him. And it seemed like after I had talked to people and my buddy and some other people, they were like, and even my stepdad sent me a text. He goes, you know, Tom Brady wasn't too bad. And I was like, somebody who's already biased towards not liking him that can come out and be like, you know what? He didn't piss me off. It wasn't a Joe Buck. It wasn't a Bob Costas. Like, there was none of that on the text.
No.
Line, or on the Twitter world. And, you know, listening to it and being like, you know what Mahomes and Andy Reid are doing, this is why they're great. Here's Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes does, dissecting plays. I thought Brady got a pass this week. I didn't think he was, and maybe we might have been a little too harsh on what to expect because he is new to this. This was his seventh game in the NFL, and he had to call what was his childhood team, I think the Niners, and then obviously like what is going to be the next, you know, staple in the NFL. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought Tom Brady, again, didn't get in the way of the game. A lot of times, like you mentioned Bob Costas, he got in the way of the ALDS. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. He got in the way. When you're broadcasting a game, you should really take a back seat to the game. That's why I think Joe Buck is really good. He doesn't talk. He lets the plays do their thing out there on the field. And I thought Tom Brady was just fine yesterday. It was like watching, you know, an okay broadcast. It was nothing. He didn't do anything that's going to jump out at you. It wasn't like Roman. Where you're like, oh my God, the guy's calling out plays. But he had two comments that I really thought were important in the game yesterday. And one, he said, when you win, that's the job of the quarterback, regardless of the variables. And that's kind of what I've been saying along with Patrick Mahomes. His stats yesterday were not good at all, right? I don't think anybody's arguing that this has been a good year for Patrick Mahomes. More interceptions than touchdowns, right? If we're not mistaken, right? So his numbers haven't been great, but yet he's 6-0. And that's ultimately what you're judged on as a quarterback, right? Unless you're in the fantasy world and it matters for your game, I judge quarterbacks based on did they do enough to lead their team to a victory and they figured it out yesterday. And then he said about Andy Reid, he said, quote, Reid can succeed with whoever's out there. And he's not wrong about that at all. Look at what Andy Reid has done just in these 2 weeks alone with the way that they have achieved success with Rashi Rice going down and Isaiah Pacheco going down and Hollywood Brown never being a part. Noah Gray yesterday is the guy who came to play. And I have it written down in my notes right after the first half or first quarter ended. It was like the Noah Gray show, 11 yards this way, 20 yards that way. All of a sudden, Noah Gray's now involved in the offense. And Tom Brady is dead on with that when he says Andy Reid can succeed with whoever is out there. There's not any other coach in the NFL, maybe in NFL history, that could succeed with whatever 11 guys you give him on offense and whatever 11 guys you give him on defense.
Do you remember when he said that in the game? Because I remember that exact quote. I remember when it was.
The Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes quote was...
Andy Reid can succeed with anyone else out there.
That one right there. I've got that written down with about 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Right after they went ahead, Sky 14-12. Moore drops his pass on second and long. And so I'm watching that, and I'm like, which I completely agree with what you're saying, and it is right, but I just facetiously and kind of funny was like, yeah, except for Sky Moore.
Well,
he can succeed with everyone except for a wide-open receiver who can't catch pass. But I did think that was funny timing.
The timing may have been humorous, but it doesn't get lost in what he means, and he's right. Like, other coaches can't. They just can't. They're so reliant on their players. The players are relying on Andy Reid. And if anything, like, people go, what's worst case scenario? I'm like, I don't know. Andy Reid's not on the sidelines. Like, they rely more on Andy Reid to put them in that position to be successful than he relies on these players to go out there and make the plays. Andy Reid is such a major component, really the major component as to why this organization has success.
Somebody said, I did miss a point in the game yesterday. The worst, or they said, the greatest onside kick of all time.
Oh, my God.
I remember watching that, sitting next to my dad and my sister, and I just said, that's probably the worst attempt at an onside kick you've ever seen.
Did he just miss, or was he trying?
So he had the football on the ground, laying, like, horizontally
on the ground.
And what he wanted to do was kind of, like, brush the tip of the football with the inside of his foot to where it would just go 10 yards and circle. But he kind of whiffed.
Like, he missed it, yeah.
And he hit it with his, like, heel, so it just went 4 yards.
Right.
It literally went 4 yards.
No, it went nowhere. Like, it was a swing and a miss,
I was like, is this real? Like, am I watching the replacements
movie? It's kind of impressive.
Like, I don't know. And that's what I was telling
that
you
that was
guys.
Like a bad golfer.
I don't think you could honestly try it if you wanted to kick a 4 yard kick. I mean, it'd be so impossible. Like, to have the touch to go 4 yards and spin. So, yeah, I guess I missed that one.
All right, so the guys at Manning Roofing had a folding chair and a rugby ball out on the golf course the other day. And it was like, can you kick it in? Can you kick the rugby ball into the chair?
Okay.
And it was like from me to you, it wasn't a far distance at all.
Like 5 yards?
Yeah, 5-10 yards max. Mm-hmm. He said we had Colquitt out here, doing it before. Nobody can ever kick that rugby ball into the chair. No, Colquitt was missing every time and was getting mad back in the day. Right? Like, so he's like, yeah, Colquitt was out here one time doing this and was getting mad he couldn't do it.
Did
so,
you win the chair if you nailed it or something? Or was it something like that?
No, it was, you're just playing around and having fun. You got the autograph of the ball, basically, and sign it. And they gave it to the BMA Foundation as a nice little token of the people. So I think four people all day were able to manage to somehow get it into the chair. But it's all luck, man. Like kicking is so difficult. And so I watched that guy whiff yesterday. I'm like, damn, he's probably practiced that thing thousands of times. And the first moment, and only moment, really, you're going to get to do it, you whiffed.
Somebody says, if that onside kick was a noise, it would have been Max Belch.
Bip.
To quote Steve Stewart, it was a Steerike. Steerike one. Hey, man, that guy's nice. He came up to me and said, congratulations on the promotion during the wild or during the postseason.
Nice. I was like, Steve Stewart's one of the nicest That's human cool. beings you'll
literally
ever meet.
Like, literally pulled me to the side and was like, hey, I just want to talk to you for a second. I was like, oh, my God, Steve, how you doing? Never had a conversation with you before. He's like, how you liking mornings? I was like, oh, thanks. He's like, congratulations. I like, appreciate that. Something else I can appreciate is noon football, because, boy, was that Vikings-Detroit game awesome.
That was fun. That was a fun
that's
game
That's the
yesterday.
NFC North, man. Like, that's – and Green Bay – I didn't know this. C.J. Stroud had 86 passing yards yesterday.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
86.
Yes. Oh, my God.
86.
Wow.
Yeah, and they almost won.
Wow.
That's why I was like, earlier today, when we were talking about like our overreaction Monday, it's like, maybe Houston, we need to, pump a little bit. I know they're 5-2, I know they're going to come December 16th to Arrowhead and have a fight, but 86 passing yards.
Wow, that's crazy. And they were in the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Green Bay drove down McManus, who they just picked up off the streets.
Yeah.
And those crispy white jerseys pierced that thing, got iced, pierced it again.
Look, Mahomes only had 154 yesterday.
But it's not 86.
And I know, but still, double. I mean, Kareem only 212 for rushing Purdy, yards. 70.
He almost had more rushing yards than Stroud throwing. And Stroud's got offensive weapons. He's got. I know Nico's out, but I mean,
the Chiefs had 100 yards more rushing than Stroud did passing.
Insane.
That's wild. I had no idea. Mean, that's a crazy number. Holy
but man,
crap.
I am finding myself more and more like, you know how you have your team that you watch, but then you have like your outer banks of like what also intrigues you. The NFC North is football porn 101.
It really is. The great uniforms.
I mean,
and
everything about it.
It's fantastic.
Who's
yesterday,
your favorite team in the division?
It's the Lions right now. Today it is. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC right now. And I don't know if that's my overreaction or if
I
that's
think
just
they're the
way
best
it
team.
Is.
I said it last week on Max Pack.
You know, I think they are by far the best team in the NFC right now.
I think they're
now,
the second
right?
best team in the NFL.
Yes. I think you can make that case behind the Chiefs right now. I mean, nobody else is taking the crown
they
of
just
being
the
second
undefeated
best
Vikings.
Team. Right. They beat the undefeated Vikings. And look,
without their best player.
It wasn't because Sam Darnold didn't. Goff played yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
That's the thing, man. I'm getting more and more people on the golf train now, man.
Golf? They, you want to go play golf? Oh.
Golf.
I was like, come
golf,
on, Bob. Right. I'll take you out.
No.
Justin got excited.
I'll fix that swing real quick.
Yeah, no. I mean, there are more golfers out there now than ever before. All of a sudden, people feel, because I gave them that outlet last week.
It was all you.
Feeling comfortable about saying they like golf. And it's okay to be a golfer, man. Like, just because.
That's what I said. You can golf all you want.
Golfer. No, oh. Golfer.
Sorry, sir, but I kill all these golfers. Okay. Who's going to come out here and play golf? Right. Golfers, you idiot, not golfers.
Do you get that, Mac, or are you just laughing?
I don't think I get that. I don't think so.
You know what? You're a great teammate, because the way you laughed,
man.
You sold me.
I got you, man.
But I had to
Caddyshack.
Ask. Yeah, I had to ask if he got that reference.
Captain Jack, okay.
Captain Jack?
Well, no, sorry. I was looking up something else. What did you say?
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Thanks for listening, Mike.
Mac, did you get? Yeah, way to go. Eric Berry, player of the week, huh? What? Oh, did you see this? Eric Berry got player of the week. So did you get that, Mac? No, I don't think I got that, no.
Bill Murray, Caddyshack, opening scene. Well, not the opening scene, but one of them.
I said there's a lot of golfers out there now. My friend who's a Lion fan texted me about golf yesterday. A couple of people on Twitter, like, you're right about golf. Like, all of a sudden now people are like, all right, I can admit that. Like, you never want to admit that Jared Goff is good because it's the name Jared Goff. Like, does that scream? Ooh.
It's hard to beat Goff.
It is. And Goff is out there right now, dominating right now. So if you are a golfer, get on my side with this and admit you like Goff.
I really don't know if he's saying golf or golf.
Goff, G-O-F-F. I've given the golfers of the world the opportunity to say, yes, I like Jared Goff, and it's okay.
Mm. From Ian Rappaport just now, Chiefs cornerback Jalen Watson suffered a fractured ankle, so have more imaging done today to determine if a return this season is possible.
Yeah,
what did you say?
Fractured ankle. God. How do they keep breaking their like ankles? Like, everything gets broken.
Not enough stretches, probably.
God, Pacheco was what, the fibula or was a leg, right? Like lower tibia.
Yeah.
Ankle for Watson.
Whew.
This collarbone. Collarbone for Brown.
Here, let me just say this.
MCL, I think, for Rice.
Do not complain ever again when there's a 15-yard penalty for roughing the passer, because I don't want to see quarterbacks out.
Well,
I just don't.
Our quarterback get choke slammed.
I know. How do we not get a penalty for that? That guy throat punched Mahomes.
I mean, at first I was like, Mahomes flopped. Then they showed it in slow motion. I'm like,
no, that was Jalen Watson to Tyreek Hill in the playoff game, or not Jalen Watson. It was Legarius Sneed to Tyreek Hill in the playoff game, throat punching him. But I'm glad they protect the quarterbacks, man, because you're watching other guys fall. You don't want to see these quarterbacks get hurt, the good ones anyway.
Mm.
What'd you just say? What?
It should be Jared Goff, so you don't want to get it misconfused with golf.
Yeah, switch the G and the J.
Joffrey.
Joffrey.
One of the worst people ever to roam the earth in Game of Thrones.
Joffrey, G-O-F, Joffrey, if you spell it like that, you have to be a butler, right?
Mm. Or you have to be a mad king. Yep, exactly. By the way, did you see the Breaking Bad recycling commercial this weekend for New Mexico? They're trying to pump, like, recycling.
Oh, no.
And it just shows Walter White wheeling out a trash barrel that he used to keep his money in the desert, puts it up and looks around. There's a bunch of trash. He's like, clean it up. And, like, starts throwing trash away.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
I'll send it to you. It's fun. Yeah. It's awesome. But anyways, no. The NFC North is amazing every week. Like, this is why I think I will always have Red Zone. Because, I mean, man, like, you know, I would hate to be stuck with whatever a 3 o'clock game might be where it's like, oh, yeah, you get Seattle and, you
Seattle and the Rams.
And I'm just like, eh.
Is there anything more depressing than coming up, Seattle takes on the Los Angeles? Oh, God, why?
Well, I mean, the 3 o'clock game for some people might have been Rams and Raiders. And that game was 15-20.
Like, well, we were the only game on Fox yesterday.
Yes, across the entire nation.
Right. Yeah. So nobody, there was no competition on Fox.
Mm.
I'd like to see the numbers. Chiefs and 49ers versus what other two turd bird shows they put on yesterday.
I think the Chiefs are probably getting what they probably have the top six ratings in football this year.
Who's watching these other games on CBS yesterday?
Nobody. Nobody was. Like, I mean, the Chiefs are what, 6-0? Is that right?
Yeah.
Is my math right? And they probably have every single game they played has probably been the highest viewed game of the season.
Of that weekend. Football. Yeah, absolutely.
In that week. Because, I mean, it was already Cincinnati and Chiefs, Baltimore and Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Monday night football game with Atlanta was huge.
It was a huge number.
Or was that Sunday night? Was that Monday night?
That was a Sunday night game. The Monday night against New Orleans had a big number.
Another big one. Yep. The Chargers one drew a ton.
Their bye week drew more than the Cowboys.
Do you think this is because of the Chiefs or because of when their games are?
No, it's because of the Chiefs. It's 100% because of the Chiefs.
Yeah, because they get to pick and choose when their games were.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what window they play in.
With like the networks, it used to be like, you know, well, they have to be 325 because it's a Fox game this week or whatever. Now they can just be like, we get this game, we get that game. And then the timing is immaculate. Like, I've never understood. Like,
yeah, but they do the timing on purpose, right?
Yeah, because I mean, like,
they want the Chiefs in the more primetime windows, obviously. But no,
timing helps.
I don't think it has anything, quite honestly, to do with the timing. It's because they are the most polarizing team in the NFL.
It's also Mahomes, Kelsey, the possibility of Swift, Andy Reid,
people are now rooting for them to lose. You know, there's a lot. The more they win, the more people will be watching this because now we're the only undefeated team left. What did I tell you at the beginning of the year? Not only are they going for a three-peat, they're going for an undefeated run. They're the last undefeated team right now. So now everybody's going to be paying attention even more, hoping at some point the Chiefs lose a football
game. I want you to hold on to that topic because we bring up receiver and corner addition. So hold on to that, and I want to bring up a question for you on the other side. Mac, Dusty, Bob here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. I want to pay off my tease because Bob had mentioned earlier about, you know, the three-peat and the importance of what they want to do with it. My question to you is, that means they definitely go make a move.
Oh, I definitely is hard to say because there's reliance on another team to do something. But yeah, they want to make a move at wide receiver. I mean, there's times you're looking around and it's like Sky Moore, Justin Watson, and Mecole Hardman are your starting wide receivers.
Yes!
You're like, okay, we've got to make an upgrade here. But again, as we've talked about, you know, for the last 2 weeks, who's that team that's going to be willing to A, admit they suck and they're out of it, which I think we're going to have some more teams this week, potentially, like Giants, time to put your big boy pants on and admit this thing's done. Jets, time to be a big boy, put your boy pants on, admit that this season's over. Cleveland, you started to admit it with Amari Cooper and some others. Now you got the opportunity to maybe, you know, move on from Carolina, Tennessee. So I think this week we'll have more of a, I shouldn't say more of, because that's not proper English, but we're going to have a clearer picture, I think, of who may be available because we're 15 days away from the trade deadline. It's time for some of these teams to put their big boy pants on and realize, all right, we suck. It's time to focus on 2025. And as we're getting closer to Halloween and the holidays, if you're a bad football team, your fans are checking out anyway. They're carving pumpkins, they're stuffing turkeys, and they're hiding things under their sock. So you've got these things that are going to start taking place that's going to take their attention away from, you know,
what
the football team.
What are they hiding under
their sock? Well, you know, gifts and things, you know.
Have you ever heard of that?
By the way, have you ever heard the term played up?
plate up or plate up?
Plate up. P-L-A-T-E. Like plate up.
Plate up.
Never heard that before.
What is that?
Went over to eat dinner, and the lady goes, plate up. And I was like, I'm sorry? She's like, plate up. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, yeah, to grab a plate and get your dinner ready. Like, put your dinner on the plate. And I was like, oh, I've never heard that before.
I don't know.
And I was like so lost for like 5 minutes. I've never heard that before.
Like furs?
No. Like at a house.
You were just at a house.
Okay. Because that's like sounds something like you're in the cafeteria line. Yep. They're slopping plate a little up. Bit of the yellow, the blue, and the green. And, you know.
Don't get cheap on me. All right. Well, speaking of plate up.
Was she serving you and she wanted you to have your plate up so she could put the food on your plate?
No, she was just like, it's ready, plate up.
Like, go get your food, plate up.
Like, dinner's ready.
Yeah, I never heard that one
before. Never heard that.
No.
I guess I'm not, I don't know.
Yeah, people hide oranges and things in their sock. Look at back in the day, you used to have those wooden shoes and people would stuff them with, you know, back in Josh's day when he was a kid growing up, they would fill his shoes with oranges for, you know.
He's not here to defend himself.
He's probably sleeping.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get to the brioche of the weekend.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy. Love that. Yeah. Good.
From the 620,
I have never heard plate up, but I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll use it. Like, yeah. Hey, plate up.
So
then I can have see the reaction someone else had.
Plate up.
My brioche of the weekend is, I think I wrote this, it was early in the morning, the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
From head to toe, no pun intended, those jerseys were great. Fantastic.
Yeah, just, my friends were dogging those. I was like, you guys are ridiculous. Really?
My friend John's a huge Lions fan. He texted me, can we all agree that these Lions uniforms suck?
No,
or not
cannot.
Lions uniforms, I mean Packers.
Yeah.
And I said, I disagree. And he comes back, he goes, well, we can all agree that the Lions black uniforms are probably the best. I'm like, I like the crispy, icy look.
Great,
like,
man.
Chiefs, let's go. All white, throw on a white lid.
Please.
Why not?
Brioche of the weekend for me, for many reasons. The jerseys were great. Jordan Love is getting to be himself. I know he threw 2 interceptions, 3 touchdowns. He is arguing to be the MVP of the league in the NFC North, which is a tough division. He is very valuable to his team. He has done exactly what we thought he was going to do. Mac was on top of that at the beginning of the season as a preseason MVP shout out. They had a new kicker come in, hit a field goal. The timeout got called. They tried to ice him. Hit it again. And not only that, they beat an AFC contender in the Houston Texans. So they help you out. A very brioche weekend for me when it comes to the Green Bay Packers.
Now for me, the brioche of the weekend, and you're probably going to look at me and go, wow, I didn't see this one coming. Saquon Barkley. I mean, what a hell of a performance against the Giants that he had going back
to New
booed? York.
I didn't see it. It's red zone, so I don't know.
Nothing like, you know,
over the top.
Yeah, it wasn't
few
like
people in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of Eagles
fans.
He'll
get booed now.
Yeah, right. But a lot of Eagles fans made the trip, so there were some cheers mixed in with, like, you tried to hear it, you could hear the Eagles, you know, all that kind of stuff. So nothing like that, but 176 yards and I don't know, what, 2 touchdowns or whatever he had on the day yesterday. He was fantastic. And you go back and you play your old team, revenge is a dish best served cold, and Saquon Barkley served that thing up. They even took him out of the game late yesterday because they're like, "All right, you've done enough here today." So Saquon Barkley gets my brioche of the weekend. He was fantastic for the Philadelphia Eagles against the Giants, which in turn gives the Giants another loss, and now they have to really look inside themselves and realize Darius Slayton needs to go to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my brioche was NFC North. We talked a lot about it, how great it was. I just think, you know, if it weren't for the NFC North, man, how crappy would the NFL be? I mean, my God, it's the Chiefs and the NFC North and everyone else. You're like, oh, this team kind of sucks.
Well, I mean, how many legit teams right now do you think can win the Super Bowl? I've got the Chiefs.
4.
I've got Baltimore out there right now as a team that could win the Super Bowl. I've got the Lions out there right now as a team that could potentially win the Super Bowl.
Green Bay?
Yeah, maybe. It's not 100% sold on Green
Minnesota?
Bay just yet. Minnesota, I'm still
okay,
like,
so you got 3.
Yeah. I'm harder than most people on this kind
I know
of stuff,
you, are.
You know? So, shut up, Dusty. So I'm going to go 3 at this point in time.
Wow, 3.
3 total teams? I think.
You only think 4.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now.
Who's
I don't
your
think,
4th?
I don't think Chiefs, Lions, Green Bay. I don't trust Sam Darnold. I really don't.
Yeah, see, that's where I come to. Like, I'm not ready
that's why, yeah.
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
So, those four.
So you do put Green Bay in. I'm not ready quite yet to put Green Bay in. I'm close, very close to putting Green Bay in that conversation. But I think it's like the Chiefs, it's Baltimore, and it's Detroit right now. What, somebody else will win the Super Bowl, obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's just the way it goes. But those are the three that I think can truly win the Super Bowl right now.
I'd put in Houston.
San Francisco can't.
I'd put in Buffalo. I'd put in San Francisco. It's week 7. This team's going to get healthy, and they've done it too many times. I'm not counting them out yet. And yeah, I think 7. I think that's my 7.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Yeah, and then other than that, I'd go Cliff Kingsbury was another brioche. 40 points with Marcus Mariota's pretty damn good. I know it's the Panthers, but 40 points, 40 points in the NFL.
He's making a case to be a head coach again. And he is. Like really fast, like really, really yeah. fast. Like if like he does well with young quarterbacks, man, people forget he was Patrick Mahomes' quarterback, you know, at Texas Tech. And the first phone call that Andy Reid made was to Cliff Kingsbury after they drafted him. So this guy's got a good track record. People like him in the league. You're turning a rookie quarterback into a guy that's competing for an MVP type honor and rookie of the year. I mean, I think he's going to be on a lot of short lists next year for teams that are looking for a new head coach.
Did you happen to see how the Miami game ended yesterday? So they had to go for it on fourth down. They had a clock
oh,
it on
yeah,
third.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
yeah.
they had to get at least a first down, and yeah. the quarterback threw it out of
threw
bounds.
Threw it out of bounds.
On fourth and yeah, like fourth, fourth and
yeah.
like four.
Yeah. Tim Boyle right for the Dolphins?
Bounds, yeah.
Oh, no.
Do you know Tyreek Hill is yet to get over the 300-yard mark for the entire length of the season? He has 294 yards receiving this year.
Number one player in the NFL, according to the players.
That's right.
We watched Justin Jefferson do this with, you know, Sam's. I can't think of these quarterbacks' names now. Nick Mullins. Like, think of all the trash quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We see Jamar Chase do this with whoever, Jake Locker last Darnold year. Yeah. It's just like, and then Tyreek Hill, he's with all these trash quarterbacks. Doesn't do anything.
That's right.
Yeah. Can we save Bob saying I'm harder than most people? And then he said, shut up, Dusty. I felt like his kid for a second. Yeah. He's well, like,
I was looking over and I saw the look that Dusty was giving me. So, you know, I just wanted to shut him up ahead of time.
Center for the 913 says the Giants owe the Chiefs for giving them Tony.
Say that again.
Somebody says the Giants owe the Chiefs for giving them Kadarius
Tony. That's right. Yeah, even though Kadarius helped us win a Super Bowl, but you take Darius Slayton. Like, you got to start to look at the teams that they have conversations with mm-hmm. before the Bills. Maybe they'll trade us, you know, Amari Cooper.
No. So for news moving forward, Raider Week starts tomorrow as right. the Puppet Master becomes the revenge tour for them. Some news out of the Raiders camp. According to Adam Schefter, Raiders quarterback Aiden O'Connell is now expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
No.
Broken thumb, per sources. He's getting a second opinion today to confirm the initial diagnosis, but it will be Gardner Minshew.
Are we sure?
Positive.
Like, Tom's not going to come out of the ownership suite and play quarterback this weekend for the Raiders?
Nah, he's got a pretty good gig.
He does.
Got a pretty solid gig there. I mean,
you do own this team.
Million and
that would be nuts, though. Stone cold, glass shatters, Tom Brady.
What would you do if Tom Brady was the starting quarterback for the Raiders this weekend?
Crap my pants be and sad. Be like, in excitement. I'd be like, here we go.
Would it not be like the coolest thing in
it
history
would be
of sports?
Awesome.
Like, seriously, in the history of sports, it would be the coolest thing ever.
Ever.
All of a sudden, Tom Brady is now the quarterback of the Raiders. Oh, my God.
I saw what Pittsburgh's defense did to Aaron Rodgers last night.
Yeah.
Pick him up like a rag doll and toss him around.
Is he still in the NFL?
Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm afraid if Tom Brady went to play in the NFL today and that Chiefs defense this year against him, I think he'd have the same sort of like, holy cow. Because what, Brady's been out 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's way past it.
Yeah,
that's what's crazy about the NFL. It's just, it's so far
it's
past
so it. Far past, but it wouldn't stop Tom Brady from doing it. So are we going to see the big national shows with all the Syracuse Jet fans on there admit that their guy, Aaron Rodgers, the Messiah, sucks?
I don't know. I got to hurry. Alex Gold's like ready to kick the door down.
Oh, yeah, he really is.
Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.